have a very, very interesting speaker. She's the founder of a company called Elite Leads, and it's a business development organization where she actually teaches you how to sell and market, how to present yourself. So it's more than just a Leads Association. And she's passionate about helping people find their passion and working on it. She has appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show, where she was featured for innovative concepts on positive communication techniques, and has been featured as a keynote speaker all over the country. In fact, all over the world. She loves taking cruises on them and giving classes. So I think that's kind of a nice thing to think about. She's the author of 6 books. The first one is Mixing It Up, which leads entrepreneurs to success. J-O-B-S, you know, Just Over Broke Syndrome. How many people know people that are in that place right now? People who are starting to think about doing their own businesses. Making a List and Changing It Twice, that helps singles choose a mate. Do you know anybody that's looking for a new partner? She recognizes nationally as an entrepreneurial advocate and teaches highly creative courses for those branching out on their own life, like Speakeasy, Street Smart Sales, and Your Right to Write. Today she's here to share with us her recently completed book, Create Your Own Reality, The Ancient Wisdom. Think about our lives and how we'd like things to be different and how we go about achieving it. So without further ado, Ms. Sharon Abbott.
It's knowing which button to push. Is that right, Patrick?
It is.
So, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I can't think of a more lovely place to be speaking. I was mentioning earlier that I'm a fourth generation San Francisco born. I was born right here at St. Luke's Hospital. And when my parents moved up to Mendocino, which, tiny, tiny little town, you know, 1,200 people and 10 square miles. And it's not the kind of place that is real if you get out into the rest of the world. So when I grew up, I had every advantage that you could imagine in a small town. I knew everybody. I could go anywhere. Everywhere was safe. I never had to worry about much of anything. And I grew up with a lot of things that were typically meant to hold me back. So one of the first things that people noticed was that I stuttered. And I had a real problem getting up in front of people and speaking, which seems odd because this is now my passion. And my sophomore year in high school, my English teacher kept me after school. She made me hold my tongue reading Shakespeare. The end of my sophomore year, I no longer stuttered. Now, years later, people told me that's the absolute worst way to stop stuttering. But I didn't care because I no longer stuttered. However, after I stopped stuttering, I would say things like, my daddy's from Texas. And no one knew when I stuttered that I had developed a southern drawl from Mendocino. It makes no sense. So I spent an entire year slowing down, enunciating, and remembering that when I got too excited or too nervous, I would start stuttering again. So it was trying to align the brain with the tongue, which was a real challenge. So imagine being 15 years old and realizing that I could change anything about myself. What a gift. So instead of thinking that stuttering was a difficult thing, stuttering became one of the greatest gifts that I could possibly have had, because it taught me to challenge things in my life. So how many of you grew up with a challenge that you still remember as being kind of a way of setting you apart from people that you went to school with? Do you remember those things? Right? Too tall, too short, you know, you couldn't participate athletically the way others could. There's so many different stigmas that we grow up with. And I'll tell you a couple of times while I'm talking, but one of the things that I realized much later in my life, everything that you experience in this lifetime is a guide to teach you what you need to learn. Now, if you get nothing else out of this morning, I want you to understand this and pass it on to everyone that you know. Everything in your life, today and from the time you were born, is perfect. It's what you came to this life to experience. No matter what you have, it's perfect. No matter what you don't have, it's perfect. So this is what we were talking about. Knowing how to bring into your life the things that you think you want probably isn't what's perfect for you. What is perfect is what is going on in your life. Years ago, I had a friend, and she said, "There are no good men out there." Guess who she dated? No good men. These were the guys who would show up late for dinner or not at all, forget their wallet at home so she had to pay for dinner. I'm on a bunch of losers, right? One of them was even married until Tyler, still living with his wife. Can you imagine how demoralizing that is? You know, you're supposed to trust people. You don't want to go out there thinking that everybody's underhanded and has ulterior motives. So you have to go out into the world being completely trusting, or you miss so many important lessons. So one day I said to her, as long as you believe that all these men are no good, that's exactly who you attract. And this is the law of attraction, which goes beyond what The Secret is. Now, all of you have seen The Secret, read The Secret, know somebody who's read The Secret. Can everybody nod your head? So what happened in The Secret, and this was no big secret, in 1942, a professor in New York University wrote a book, The Secret Door Beyond Success. So all of these amazing people took this information and put it together in a new version, The Secret, the movie first, then the book, and it was to raise the consciousness. So we have gone beyond the age of Aquarius, we have gone beyond the age of free thought, and now we're in the age of responsibility. Isn't that a tough one to bear? Alright? So you are responsible for what happens in your life. Now, the conundrum is it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. So if you put together this master plan, I want this in my life, I want this many kids, I want this many grandkids, I want to live here, and these are the trips I'm going to take. Well, you know what? The universe might have a different plan for you, and that's perfect. So what happens where the challenges in our life come from is the resistance to what is happening in our life. So that centeredness, the acceptance, that awareness, so when you're in a challenge, and you can look at this as a gift and let it be, then you have no pain, you have no emotional attachment to the outcome. So what would happen if, how many of you have been through a divorce? Me twice. Alright, so when I went through my first divorce, it was one of the most painful things I've ever been through. Because I was raised Catholic. Catholic girls don't get divorced. I went to my parents and I said, "Sorry, can't do this." My dad said, "You marry him, you learn to live with it." Well, this was a verbally and physically abusive relationship where the choice came down to live or get a divorce. Those were the only two choices. So I went to the priest, and the priest said, "No one deserves that life. Get out." And I said, "But my dad," and he said, "Your dad is not your judge. There's no one on this earth, your parents, your children, no one who has the right to judge you or anyone else because you're living your life for your lessons." Now, that also means, the flip side, you can't judge anyone else. So no matter what they're going through, it is their lesson. I don't care if they're mean, they have a nasty temper, they're inconsiderate. It's what they need to go through. So being an acceptance of other people gives you more free time to be able to have people accept you. So how many of you, if you had to look back, would say that you had a major monumental challenge that you thought you just couldn't get through? Couple? Yeah. But, you know, here you are today. Isn't that amazing? You live through these things. And what happens, that saying? We've had these sayings for centuries. What doesn't kill you will
make you stronger.
Make you stronger. We know these things because they're drilled into our heads. But the fact is, when we're going through it, we don't want to hear that, do we? Leave me alone. I want to be miserable for a while. I don't know if you thought that, but I have. 6 months ago, I lost my brother. I knew for 2 years he wasn't going to make it. I took care of him the last 2 years of his life. For 3 months after he passed away, I was inconsolable. Ask Kate. Don't even talk to me. You know, I go out and I'll do what I have to do, but I don't want to hear it. I don't, you know, I know he's in a better place. I know he's having physical challenges in this lifetime. I'm 50 years old. He was too young to leave this earth. And I wasn't done with him. That was me. Not him. That was me. I wanted him here. And I have never felt that much angst in my life. And I've had a lot of challenges thrown at me, but that was the one that hit me the hardest. And it was almost like, in my face, everything I teach. To be still. And this is why I couldn't handle people talking to me, talking at me about it, you know, reminding me every day he's in a better place. I didn't need to hear that. I know that. But I needed to find that centeredness, that peacefulness. So how many of you have stress in your life? Where does stress come from? Tell me. That's the answer exactly. We make it up. Now, this is something that some of you know and some of you might not be aware of, but stress is the number one killer in this country. It causes heart attacks. It causes cancer. It causes all kinds of blood diseases. It causes amazing things that your mind is in control of. So the next time you feel yourself stressed, I want you to think of this. If you're in this moment, right now, what time is it, Kate? A quarter after 11. If you're in this moment, 11:15, is there anything to be stressed about?
Nope.
Not one thing. When you think about the past, when you think about the future, and I always think past to the left, future to the right, I don't know why, I just got that somewhere. When you're in this moment, there's nothing that can bother you. But it's worrying about what was or what will be that causes the stress. Now, has anyone ever been tarred and feathered because you've been late for something? Tarred and feathered? Really?
Well, shut out the room, locked out the room.
Was it, did you get through that? Was that like tremendously traumatic for you?
At the time, yes.
At that moment? But it was really okay because you survived it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I'm here.
So this is what I want you to remember. And I want you to have other people that you're close to really appreciate this. Stay in this moment. I believe that most people miss most of their life by being in the past or being in the future. So as a practice, if you have to wear a rubber band around your wrist, if you don't have a rubber band, all you have to do is snap. Right there on your wrist. When you do that, it actually causes electrical shocks, not only to your fingertips, but it sends a signal to your brain, change this pattern. That's neurolinguistic programming. And it's one of the things that most people will use to change what you're doing that's not working. Have you ever had someone tell you, oh, I love that outfit, and your first reaction is, oh, this old thing? You just diminished the compliment. One of the things I had to work on for an entire year, I walk around going like this, biting my tongue saying, thank you. Because that was not comfortable for me to accept compliments. An entire year. Every year on my birthday, I pick one thing that I want to change in my life. And I've done that since I was 15. When I learned that I didn't have to stutter, I worked a year on something new. And the third thing I worked on, and this is really odd, I actually walked a pigeon toe the whole time I was growing up. And I walked for an entire year with my feet pointing out so that the next year I actually walked straight. Isn't that odd? A simple little thing. Being pigeon-toed, I used to trip over my own feet. My knees are full of scars because I kept falling and cutting up my knees because I was so clumsy. When I was 35, I went to a chiropractor for a completely different reason. And he said, you know what's really odd? He said, your right hip is actually a half an inch higher than your left, which caused the muscles in my legs to be adjusted wrong, which caused me to be pigeon-toed, which caused me to be clumsy. Simple little things that make a huge difference when you're growing up. I look around, you know, when you're driving into the city, and I think my great-grandmother was born here. I love this story. My grandfather was 12 years old when his mother passed away, and he was born in a house on 2nd Street in Alameda. My mom was born in the same house. And my great-grandfather remarried within 6 months. That was the thing to do back then, right? You couldn't raise kids as a single man. And so he remarried, but of course the stepmother, typical story, she really didn't want my grandfather around. So she sold his labor for $50 a year. He had to take the ferry from Alameda to San Francisco, right there at the Port of San Francisco, get off at the ferry building, walk around Yerba Buena, and go out on a fishing boat 365 days a year. And his stepmother got $50 for that. So he'd leave at 3 in the morning, he'd get home at 10 o'clock at night, every day. So who has it tougher in this room? None of us. Right? Being in gratitude, go back to the secret, being in gratitude, and really every day, appreciating what you have in your life, the lessons that have been brought to you. Well, the really cool thing is that my grandfather started noticing that there was this young girl, when she was 17, she actually had 4 children by the time she was 17. Her father sold her to Ed Brown. She was 15, he was 35. Her father got $50 for turning her over to be a bride. By the time she was 18, she had 5 girls. Can you imagine? And she and my grandfather fell madly in love. This was in 1914. Isn't that something? They ran away together. Ed Brown never gave her a divorce, so my grandparents were never married. And you can imagine my mom and her attitude when I found that out. But I think it's the coolest story because being in love in 1914 to that degree, where you would turn your back on everything that was expected of you, to walk away from the rest of your family because something was so important. And I want you later today to think about something that you've walked away from that's extremely important to you. The things that you've given up because they might have been too challenging. It might be too difficult for you to do on a daily basis. But there are things that we let go of. And I think we also need time to let things settle in, right? We can't always be working on us. We have to have times when we're just cruising a little bit. We need that time to regenerate. So if you're out there in the world, you are going to find things that make you unhappy. You're going to find things that could be better in your life. And you pick and choose your battles. If you were to look around you, from your home to here, and the places that you go on a regular basis, I promise you that every day you'll find at least 8 or 9 things that you can change, one little bit at a time. What would happen if each one of us took that kind of responsibility? It could change 1 to 10 things. And it could be something as simple as a couple months ago I came out from a meeting and there was this man, maybe in his late 70s, and he was standing there looking really frustrated. So I walked up to him, and I watched people just walk by him. So I walked up to him, and I said, "Is there something I could help you with?" And he said, "I can't remember where I parked my car." Okay, but this parking lot is huge. Anybody ever done that? I lost my car at the San Francisco airport parking lot. It was 11 o'clock at night. Oh, jeez. So, you know what the cool thing was? Is one of the parking attendants came and picked me up. I guess they saw me on a monitor walking around and helped me find my car. Isn't that cool? So when you put yourself out there as being somebody who gives, the universe magically gives back. So I walked up to this man, and I don't do it for that, because I look for things. I want to find 10 things that I can do every day that make a difference. So I walked up to this man, and I said, "Okay, do you have one of those little clickers for your car?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Okay, get in my car," and we drove up and down every aisle until finally one car beeped. And he said, "Honey, I don't know what I would have done without you." And I said, "I don't know what I would have done without you today." Because I really knew that that was one of the things that I could have done. Opening a door for a man, and you look at the surprise in their face, it is such a great feeling. You know, stopping and talking to someone. I was over at the Blockbuster looking for a movie the other day, and this young man was coughing and sneezing, and, you know, always just felt so bad for him. Any of you ever had allergies? Not fun, is it? You know, this really cool thing that I've had to learn over the years. There is a natural cure for everything that you will go through. You don't have to take drugs. You don't have to do surgery. When I broke my foot 4 years ago, I went to the hospital and got a cast. But almost everything can be cured naturally. You do not have to have the drugs that the pharmaceutical companies really impress upon you that you need to have, which cause 10 to 20 other side effects, and then you have to take more and more drugs to cover up all the side effects. And then what you're doing is you're robbing your own body from learning how to heal itself. So I went by this guy, and I think, "Oh, good, here's one of my 10 things today." So I said, "Did you know that if you go to the health food store, they actually have honey made from your local area? And when you take a teaspoon 3 or 4 times a day, you're ingesting what you're allergic to. Within 6 months, you're never allergic to whatever it is that made you feel like that." So imagine that you don't, you know, you have those allergies, you get tired, you know, you feel like you're always blowing your nose. It's really uncomfortable. You can't think very clearly. So within 6 months, you can eliminate having allergies. And it's the easiest thing in the world, and most of the cures are. So what I did in my book is I went through this whole litany of manifesting things that were huge challenges over a 12-year period. So, 1991, the Gulf War, right? I bought a travel agency 6 months before the Gulf War. Not a good idea. We went from $90,000 a month to $30,000 a month overnight. One of my neighbors had a heart attack a couple of months before, and all of a sudden in March, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but the grass is like this big, and then 2 weeks later it's this tall. And so I volunteered to go over and mow his lawn, but all he had was one of those, you know, the pole things and, you know, the basket on it. And when the grass is that tall, that's not the mower you want to use. So I finally just got rid of the basket. And the grass was so wet that I would just reach in and pull out these clumps of grass. And about the 10th time I did that, next door, there was a palm tree, And the palm started, like, cracking. And I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, a palm's going to fall down on me. So I looked up as I was grabbing the grass, and my finger went right into the lawnmower, stopped the lawnmower. That finger. I had a lot of fun with that. I made little sheaths that were really, really bright colored materials to cover up. So I went to the hospital, and brand new. I mean, this is me, right? This is what happens. Brand new emergency doctor who gave me a specific tetanus shot with a specific antibiotic that caused Epstein-Barr virus. Could have changed one or the other and know what would happen, but this is my life. Every organ in my body quit, one at a time, which was fortunate because I don't know how I would have handled it if it was more than one. So every organ in my body had hard failure. The first thing was my spleen, but I had a fever of 102 from March 15th through through August 19th. I had this amazing person just show up in my life, and he said, I know an acupuncturist in Marin, and if I can drive you up there, because I couldn't drive with a fever like that. He said, if I can drive you up there, I'll make the appointment for you every Saturday until we get rid of this fever. So went up there to this appointment, and the really funny thing, his name was Koji, and Koji would move every couple of months because he was in this country illegally, and he would move to a different apartment, and he would just call and say, here's the new address. This man had, for 300 years, the father would pass on the talent of acupuncture. And he would start at my head, work all the way down to my toes, up my feet, and all the way up the front of my body, never leaving me for an hour, twirling the needles, putting them in, twirling the needles. And after 3 months, the fever finally broke. And then we started working on the next thing, which my kidneys failed. So I gained 130 pounds in a year. And I had these nightmares of waking up one day and gaining 500 pounds. No matter what I ate, no matter what I didn't eat, my body just kept storing it for fat because it was terrified of not having enough nutrition, and I wasn't absorbing the nutrition, so it kept storing everything for fat. Now, one of the cool things that I learned about this is that any healthy body is never overweight. Imagine. Your body knows what it needs, and no matter what you eat, it will reject it when you're healthy. But how do you get healthy if you're not? How do you change how your body metabolizes? How do you change what your body does with what you're eating? That's the key. So I would start looking for all these solutions, but I was so fortunate that people would just appear in my life. Now, you can imagine what I felt like, that every time I got one thing under control, the next thing would happen. So when my kidneys failed, I had so much fluid, my hands were about 3 times as thick. So this is a really cool indicator when you look at people's hands and you can't see the ligaments in their hands. That's a kidney problem. When people have the puffy eyes, that's kidney. And the body's trying to show you physical evidence so that you stop and pay attention to it. So we've got all these great clues, but we've not been taught to pay attention. So I worked through all of these challenges, and I finally thought, okay, there's got to be something nutritionally that I can do. And I met this nutritionist, and she said, let's do vegan. Doesn't that sound like fun? Are there any vegans in here? Well, this is what I learned years later. If you're type O, cannot do vegan. Cannot. Type A can do really well. I think you're an A, right? Do you know your blood type? Not you. You look like you'd be an A. You don't. Rounded chin. Pointed chin is typically A. See, this is what's really cool. Most of us, right? Most of us, you can tell by your face what your blood type is. Type O is the most sturdy blood type of any in the world. So if there's famine, if anybody survives, it's O. We can donate blood, we can, anybody, you can pick our blood. It is like really cool. Now, if I had any other blood type, I wouldn't have survived what I did for 12 years. And they were adamant about that. It was my blood type that kept me going strong enough. So I'm doing the vegan thing, hating it, but I was bound and determined to lose this weight. Do you remember when Oprah hit 235 pounds? Exactly the same time I hit 235 pounds, and I'm 5'4". And I was really terrified every day. So guess what? I'm focusing on terror and fat, so when it happens, I get fatter and I get more afraid. Right? That's the premise of The Secret. Whatever you focus on, that's exactly what you get more of. So 3 months after doing vegan, I gained 18 more pounds, absorbing all the water from all the vegetables, and my body, because the kidneys weren't healthy enough, couldn't process the extra fluid. So I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I feel my fingers tingling. Geez, that's odd. It's like, you know, when you pinch your elbow and all of a sudden you feel the fingers tingling. Next thing, my arm's getting numb. And then I think I'm in trouble here. So I flip the U-turn, go back to the closest hospital I can get to. And by that time, the side of my face was almost numb. They took one look at me, threw a wheelchair under me, got me in, did an EKG, and sure enough, I was having a heart attack. Doing vegan for an O, I had removed all the moisture around the heart sac, and my heart couldn't pump. Honestly, you would think a nutrition would know better, right? But what works for one person doesn't work for the next person. So it's very individual. So I'm going to give you something. Do any of you have trouble making decisions? Tough decisions. Do you have trouble with them? So what I want you to do, Kate knows I do this. What I want you to do is rub your fingertips, both hands, on your material, pants, skirts, whatever, but just rub your fingertips really. You're just removing like the moisture from the water glass or whatever. And then what you want to do is take your fingertips and rub them very lightly together. See how smooth that is? I always say at the same time, whatever your name is, my name is. See how it stays smooth? Say your name is Charlene. See how it's not smooth? Alright? If you're not getting it, right, there is resistance, and you can try this at home later. Here's the other thing you can do. If you stand perfectly still and you clear your mind, and I can ask my body, what is my yes? And I move forward. I say, what is my no? And I'll move backwards. Yes, no. Centuries ago, we all had the ability to know what was right for us. But it was taken away from us because other people wanted to control what we did, where we went, who we did it with, everything we ate, what was going on politically. So I want you to reactivate that memory. So within your solar plex, you have the ability to know the answers. If you didn't get it on the fingertips, try it with the thumbs, and you'll get smooth or not. Or try it standing up and do your yes or no that way. So this is something that's really cool. I love green bananas. Anybody else with me? I love green bananas. I don't know why. They're just so cool. So I go into the store, and I go to reach for a green banana, and my body pulls away. I'm not even thinking about it anymore because I'm so well trained that my body will lean away from what it doesn't want. Is that not cool? So I go buy the spinach, and my body's like diving into the deli case here because I need the green. So retrain yourself. Teach yourself what's right or wrong. Now, this is what's really nice. You can say, I can trust this person. Okay, so I know I can trust Kate. That's what I asked in my mind. I can say, should I go? Okay, didn't want to. Doesn't matter what I want or what I don't want, but I was invited to go to an event. I really don't want to go. but I should go. Because I never know who I'm going to meet and how that changes my life, which is one of my fundamental beliefs. When we come into this lifetime, it's like this revolving door. People come in, they come out, they come in, and if we stop long enough to pay attention to the people who are in front of us, there's a gift that everybody leaves with us. The challenge that we have a lot of times is that we don't want them to leave so quickly. Like my brother. I wanted him to stay here longer. I miss being able to hug him. He was 6'1", and he had the greatest sense of humor of anybody I've ever known. I was 40 years old before I ever laughed out loud. Life was pretty serious for me. And he taught me how to look at life 180 degrees compared to how I used to think of it. So when he was 40, he was driving a truck for J.B. Hunt. So every time I see a J.B. Hunt truck, my heart, you know, just does that thing. And he got out of the truck in Arkansas and he slipped on some ice and he wrenched his clutch knee so bad that he had to gas double clutch with his right knee all the way back to Dallas. And he goes to have the knee surgery and he thought he'd take care of his hemorrhoids while he was there, but it turned out it was colon cancer. Now, he was given 6 months to live, and that was 8 years ago. So, how many of you know somebody who has cancer, or you've had cancer yourself? All right, so I had breast cancer 6 years ago. And they said because my autoimmune system was so compromised that I couldn't live through the chemo or radiation, but my appointment was on Monday morning at 10. Is that insanity? You can't live through this, but start it on Monday. I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. So what happened when my brother had cancer, it was 2 years prior to me getting cancer, and I got all this great education. So this is why I want you to know this. When you go through something, it's so that you can learn. And then you take that knowledge, and then you're able to help other people who haven't gone through it yet. And we all have a responsibility that every person who comes through that turnstile with us. Every time we come through that revolving door, that person who's right there is a fundamental key in your life. And you can ignore it, that's your choice. Or you can embrace it, that's your choice. But if you embrace it, you get more of a gift than the other person. So when you show up for what life is offering you, you will find that there's more joy in everyday life. You never know what each day is going to bring. So here's my brother in this cancer treatment center in Concord. And Dr. Messer is the head of the center. And they told my brother 5 months tops. And we go in, where they're gonna, you know, they do the tattoo for the radiation. And we look up on the chart, and in letters 2 inches tall, HIV. What? So we get the blood test from Dallas, no HIV. While he was in the hospital in Dallas, he got infected with HIV during one of the blood transfusions. So here he has colon cancer and HIV. And at the time, let me see, he was just 42. 6'1", 135 pounds.
We go through the treatment, but this is what I did that was different. So the next time you find out someone has cancer, there's this wonderful person, Dr. Bernie Siegel. He's back in Boston, and he has this array of books. He has a 90% success ratio of curing people from cancer. He teaches people how to get rid of all their stress. If your relationships are stressful, you learn to readjust them or you get out of them. You learn to set boundaries. You learn to control your environment. And this is important whether you have cancer or not, because I don't know if you know this, everyone has active cancer cells. How many of you have ever had a mammogram? 51% of all women who get mammograms get breast cancer. That's ridiculous. Over in Lafayette, Dr. Lynn Saputo, he's an internist, he has this machine that's a thermography machine. It's a breast thermography. And 10 years prior to having breast cancer, you can actually tell if you have active cancer cells that will become cancerous and take over and infect other cancer cells. It's non-invasive, So there's nothing harmful in it compared to, imagine, have you seen the cells, what they look like when they're active cancer cells? This is what shocked me. I had an ulcer. See, though all these things are perfect. I had an ulcer when I was 35 years old. I had a really high-pressure job. I was traveling 5 states. I was home 3 weeks out of 2 years. It was ridiculous, especially winter travel, you know, when you have to. And this ulcer, they showed me the slide of the cell, what it looks like when it's ulcered. And it was a perforated ulcer, so it was really painful. And I think I was downing like bottles and bottles of antacid, you know, drink. Finally, okay, I'm going to the doctor. All right. So later, when I saw the cell of my brother's active cancer cells, they're exactly the same. Isn't that something? So what happens with a tumor is a tumor encases active cancer cells to protect your body so those active cancer cells don't infect other healthy cells. So tumors are pretty cool because you can then take them out in one piece. So I got all this education while my brother's going through his cancer, and 5 months after he had the cancer, the doctor called him and said, we have to do another CAT scan. So we go in for the CAT scan, and the doctor calls back 2 days later, and he says, we got to do another CAT scan. Something happened. And my brother looked at me. He says, the cancer's gone. I still get the rolling body chills because I remember that moment and how that felt. So we do the second CAT scan, and sure enough, the cancer was gone. And the doctor said, well, this is not possible. What is not possible, right? So what happened during the 6 months is that I said, your only job is to get up in the morning, take your shower, get dressed, eat your breakfast. I went off and did my business. I came back at 1 o'clock. We have 4 hours of chemo every single day for 5 months. And I would drive him, and I would take him back. And on the way back, I'd say, even though he was really sick, I said, I want you to stop and think about what does your body want to eat. And I said, I don't care if it's Twinkies. I don't care if it's a T-bone steak. What is your body telling you? And I made him think. I made him start looking at that. I disconnected cable, and I only rented stupid slapstick humor movies. He loved slapstick. As a child, he used to mimic Jerry Lewis, knew every routine. It was so irritating. But that's what I did. I got him Jerry Lewis marathons. I got him all these Dumb and Dumber, anything Jim Carrey he just loved, right? And of all the people, the 5 of them who had colon cancer, he was the only one that survived. And he was 42, and they were in their 20s. What I learned from his experience was how to get through the cancer. There are so many things that I talk about in my book that will give you insights to try. Now, what worked for me might not work for you, but now you know how to find out yes or no. There are so many different ways that you can treat your body to make it healthier. And even if you look healthy, there's probably things that you don't know. Like I was talking a few minutes ago about this gland right here in your body. If you come under your collarbone about 2 inches from the center of your throat, there's this soft spot. Do you feel that little soft spot? And if you push on it, it's got to be sore, right? The reason it's sore, the air that you breathe, the water you drink, the toxins that come into your body land in both of these glands to protect your body. So massages, which you're going to go have a massage, massages take those toxins out of your body so that you don't have to absorb them. Simple little things that you can do on a day-by-day basis. So challenge yourself that every morning you get up, and I want you to think about if you could choose anything in your life, and today is always a do-over. Remember City Slickers? Right? This is your do-over. every single day, you get to choose who you are, where you're going, what you're doing, and what your day is going to be like. And if you're not jumping out of bed every day, you are missing why you're on this earth, to have that complete joy. Whether you're healthy, whether you're not, whether you're in love, whether you're not, it's perfect. And your path is always perfect, no matter what you're doing. So I really want to thank you for being here today. It gives me such great pleasure to be able to spend time with such amazing, enlightened women. It's just one of my biggest joys in life. And Kate, thank you for inviting me here.
Now she's open for questions, so you really can get personal. And also, she's going to be signing books before lunch, so she's got her full array. So, but how about some questions for Shelly?
Dr.
Shelly?
Yes.
You talk a lot about living in the moment and not dwelling on the future, dwelling on the past. What if you're the one in your family, though, that has to focus on the future? What if you're the one who says, you know, we need to be planning, you know, someone's got to take care of the kids' college education, someone's got to think about, you know, the bills that are going to be coming down the road. How do you get out of being in the future, if that is your responsibility?
No, it's actually in this moment that you're taking care of the future. So instead of thinking you're in the future doing these things, you're doing them now so the future is better. So change your perspective. So isn't it great that you can think about your college education funds for your children by doing what you're doing today? And instead of thinking it's you that has to do all this stuff, be grateful that it's you. So shifting your perspective, right? So if you weren't doing it, your kids wouldn't have their funds for college. So just shift. See, that's what I mean. It's just like, you know, you see that, like, the different camera angles in movies. You just shift your perspective just a little bit. And it's like, gosh, isn't it great that I have the skills to understand how important that is? And just stay in gratitude. That's the difference between, we were talking about the difference between the secret and what I teach people to do. The secret teaches you to think about what you want and, like the law of attraction, focus on those things. But what I teach is, what are the action steps that you need to take? What is it that you have to do, like planning for your children's future? Because if you just think that it's going to happen, it won't. Right? So you have to have the action. But it's the action you're taking today. Focus on, if I do this today and be in this moment, and stop the chatter in your head thinking, oh, it's just a burden, it's my job. It's actually your privilege. Just work on it a little. Yes?
All right, I'm going to count on my friend Kate's question. What if you're so stuck in the moment and you're not moving forward? You're not.
Well, that's one of the difficult things when you're very spiritual, is to just be here in this moment. And it's very hard, because a lot of people who were born into this time are actually reborn from Atlantis. And so it's very difficult for us to focus on where are we going. And I was one of those people that I grew up, the only rich person I knew, all of you remember Heritage House, right? The Sea Ranch Lodge. Well, that was Mr. Denon, and that was the only wealthy person I was ever introduced to. And I didn't like his wife. See, I was best friends with his daughter, and his wife was pretty rude. So as a very young child, I made up my mind in the first grade, I never wanted to be rich, because that meant you had to be rude, you had to be indifferent to other people, you had to be a little snooty. And so I made up this whole story in my head. And so I spent all of my time being in this moment, enjoying this moment. I saw my parents go their entire life working hard, having nothing. And I was going to do it all, travel the world, experience whatever I wanted, have fun, you know, great life. And then one day someone asked, how do you help poor people? The answer? Never be one of them. So simple. So think about, it is wonderful that you spend so much time in this moment, but carve out a half an hour every day to know where you want to go. What's important for you a year from now, 5 years from now? What do you see in your life? If you could change with a half an hour a day, if you could change one thing and have your life the most ideal possible, what would it be? Would it be to go to Greece and Italy? Would it be to have a foundation? One of my goals in life is to create a foundation. It's called You Be You, the ultimate business university for kids at risk. And there's a process called the anti-sabotage technique, which removes all negative emotion from anyone. So fear, abandonment, anger, anything in 20 minutes is gone. So imagine having these kids that are living on the street all of a sudden be brand new. Stanford did a study, and they found that out of these 2,000 children that they followed from every economic background, 98% of everyone born is born with the capacity to genius. By the time they're 21, 5% are left. Our environment steals our genius, and we can give that back through the anti-sabotage technique. Will you do that a half hour a day?
Sure.
Cool.
Any more? Well, thank you all for coming and joining and sharing.